Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
This morning, before I begin this morning's message, I'd like to give us some update on what happened on Resurrection Sunday, which was last Sunday. So maybe ask the team to switch over to my slides. So last week, we had over 2,000 people come and join us to hear the gospel message. Let's thank the Lord for that. This was second service. It was absolutely packed. After the service, the foyer was packed. Friends, it's not just the numbers. It's the pre-believing friends and loved ones that you've invited to hear the gospel. And that really warms our heart. Thank you so much for praying. And let's continue to do so. Lead our friends. And the gospel was shared through the drama. And yes, okay, so there must be some concurrence to that. And the blessing it is to just hear Pastor Kenyao share the good news. So we praise God for that. But I want to share with you an even more good news. So normally we show the youths upstairs and the lower primary and upper primary, but this is the kindy. So last Sunday, an altar call was given to the kindy, and 29 of our children prayed to receive Christ. Let's thank the Lord for that. Praise God. And the even better news is that we already sent the information. So parents, if one of these kids belong to you, we've already informed you by WhatsApp, email this week, and we've also sent you the material to follow up with your children. Because we believe in covenant, discipleship doesn't happen primarily in the church, it happens in the family. Parents are primary disciple makers of the family of the children. So, moms and dads, when you get this, please download the material and use it. You are your son and daughter's first disciple maker. Isn't that incredible? So, let's praise the Lord again for all that He's done last week at our Easter service. We turn from something that's really happy what God is doing to something that maybe is, for me, was a little not so happy this week. So this came up in YouTube, and it's a documentary by BBC, and you can search it up on the YouTube. It's called Make Me Perfect, Manufacturing Beauty in China. Okay, so this came up this week, and maybe you look at this lady on the screen. She's not AI generated. This is a real person, okay? Do you think she's pretty? Do you think she's beautiful? I think anyone who looks like this would say, whoa, this is model quality, supermodel quality, isn't it? They went on to publish an article, and you can read it, and the links are given down there. But this is what she said. I've had 100 operations and will never stop. And it's an insight to China's cosmetic surgery boom. It says every year 20 million Chinese people pay for cosmetic procedures. And it talks about the toxic beauty standards are being shared on social media in China, distorting what seems normal. And it talks about, shares a story about this lady. She's 35 years old now. She had undergone 100 procedures since 14 years old, costing over $500,000. And yet, despite having undergone more than 100 procedures, when she scans her face using this So Young Magic Mirror feature, it's an app, okay, to tell you how perfect or imperfect your face is. So she scans her face. You can see it on the video. The app still points out imperfections in that incredibly beautiful face. Can you imagine that? You know, I don't know how you feel, but when I glance through it, look at it, I was heartbroken. I was sad. Because here was someone already so, you know, I think by most of our standards, we'll say, well, if anyone looked like that, you know, what else? What more can we ask for, kind of thing, you know? And not satisfied. Not satisfied. Very sad. Not satisfied. And I share this with us because the whole New Life team is about giving hope, about transformation, isn't it? And we long for that. And we recognize that all that we do on the outside, no matter how many injections, how many procedures you have, age and time will catch up with us. And we will not always be like this. And that's the reality. So no matter how much we do on the outside, as long as the inside is not changed, you can do more and more procedures, but it is still not satisfying. You're still looking for something more. And that's what Christianity is about. It's not just about the surface, superficial change. You and I long for something that's a deep change inside, so that whatever we have on the outside fades away to the incredible thing that God is doing on the inside, the transformation that we long for. This morning, I want to walk with us in that journey. What brings true transformation for those of us who follow Jesus? Before we begin, I invite you to close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's invite the Lord. Acknowledge His presence and invite Him to stay with us. Holy Father, we pause now. We quieten our hearts to be present with You. We confess our utter dependence upon our Creator God. Acknowledge Your faithful and amazing love to undeserving creatures like us. Thank You, Lord, that You do not leave us to our own devices, but You have chosen us to transform us beyond our wildest imagination, to be beautiful beyond all that we dare ever dream or imagine, to be beautiful like Your Son Jesus. Lord, would You grant us that transformation to live in such a way that others too may experience that deep, deep change? For we ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning and welcome to Covenant's Pulpit. Many of you already know today is New Life's Friends Day. This year is a very special year. It's not just any other year, it's 25 years. I was there in the year 2000 when we started New Life Community Service, and literally in the blink of an eye, here we are 25 years. And some of you may or may not know, it started off at Bukit Panjang, and then with Steady Readers and all the stuff you're doing. And then when Woodlands opened in 2008, it also went on to Woodlands. And this is where we are today. Wow, all over Singapore. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. This is God's faithfulness to us. This is God's faithfulness to us. You know, start from 12 children in Steady Readers in 2006, we have 7 centres today, 3 of which are linked with Comlink and 1 primary school as well. Incredible. And just the last 4 years, just the last 4 Steady Readers, we've reached out to 614 students. Let's thank the Lord for that. Let's thank the Lord for that. So with that as a background, you know, you've already heard Steve talk about the next 25 years of life transformation. I want to bring to you a message today. I've entitled it Life Transformation in the Book of Acts. And ask ourselves this question, hey, how does this really happen? So that it's not just skin deep, but as we live our journey with Jesus, something truly happens inside. And I present to you that in the Book of Acts, there are these 3 things at least we can see. Firstly, there's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Then there's also the transforming presence of a holy God. And finally, the transforming purpose of a holy people. So we'll begin with the first, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And to do so, I begin by introducing to you a person. This is Simon Peter. Of course, it's not his real face, but just imagine that, Simon Peter. So if I would say, oh, Peter, you know, the Apostle Peter in the Scriptures, and say, hey, what do we know of the Apostle Peter? What are some words you would throw up to me? What about Peter, when you mention Peter? Fisherman, quite obviously, fisherman. Okay, fisherman. He's a Galilean. He's got a brother, Andrew. What else? He's among the first of the apostles, isn't it? Disciples that the Lord called. He was among the 12. He's among the 12. Not just among the 12, he was actually the chief of the 12, isn't it? He was the one to which Jesus said, to you I give the keys of the kingdom. Whoa! This is incredible. In other words, he's not just, you know, we imagine here, he has Peter starting off and, you know, and these are all the things that's poured into him, you know. In our terms in the world today, we call him high potential. Tremendously high potential, isn't it? He's got all this, wow! And then, what else is associated with Peter? You know, yeah. At the moment of crisis, at the point of testing, he denied the Lord not just once, not just twice, but 3 times, isn't it? And so from this, wow, this high potential to, really at the bottom. And we know that because there are some things that happen, and I'm setting the stage. So now, in the Gospel of John chapter 21, Jesus had resurrected, appeared to the people, and yet Peter comes to the place and says, I'm going fishing. So, tremendously high potential, failure. The Lord appeared, I'm going fishing. What's happening in Peter's life? I present to you these words, I'm going fishing, is absolutely loaded. It's not simply, I'm going fishing. There's a lot behind that statement when Peter said, I'm going fishing. What do I mean by that? So when you are despondent, discouraged, stressed for whatever reason, what do many of us do? We binge watch Netflix. We doom scroll social media. We drink ourselves silly, whatever. I don't know what we do, okay? But oftentimes you notice if you're good in something, so for example, if you're good in baking, nothing against bakers, if you're good in baking, and you're stressed, what do you do? You bake. Let's say you've got green fingers, you're very good with, you know, your plants grow, thrive under you, and you are stressed. What do you do? You you go to the garden and you work with your plants. Why? Because it is in these moments when you're really down, you want to have some measure of control, some measure of confidence that, hey, I can do something, it's not all that bad. It's our way of finding relief. It's our way of finding relief. I think this is what's happening to Peter. You know, he has betrayed the Lord, and I think he's wondering, you know, I this is really terrible. I'm the one with the most potential, and I've fallen so low, I'm not even sure whether I'm good enough. I think when he says I'm going fishing, it might even have a sense that I think I'm calling it quits. We say in our local terms, 不要玩了, don't want to play anymore. I think I'm going back. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. I think that's the picture we have of Simon Peter. Okay, so with that, I'm going to go into the book of Acts. Okay, so go into the book of Acts. We begin in Acts chapter 2. Today we'll look at 2, 4, and 10. Okay, we begin in chapter 2. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this was what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. So this is his first message he preached. And then the response, and now when they heard, they were cut to heart. He said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse 41, amazing. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day 3,000 souls. Wow! The first message of the Apostle Peter, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus. This is more than all our combined first and second service last week, even just in terms of numbers. Only 2,000 people came. This is 3,000 came to know Jesus. So, notice with me, here was someone with tremendously high potential, came to the place of utter failure, about to give up. And then the next moment, we see him preaching and 3,000 people came to know Jesus. So the question is, what happened in between? What made this change from someone who's down, despondent, about to give up the ministry, and then turn around? And the scriptures don't leave us guessing. Because in Acts chapter 2, right at the beginning, it says this, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God tells us that the transformation of someone who's about to quit, just discouraged and just not sure whether he can move on in this particular direction, is God's loving gift and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that this is not something that Peter has earned or deserved it. As a matter of fact, all of them have failed the Lord. And yet, in spite of that, the Lord gives his gracious gift to us. So we need to understand that first and foremost, that the power of the Holy Spirit is God's gracious gift to everyone who has trusted God, who's trusted that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We can't earn to or work or deserve it. It's not. It's given to us. Now, all of us understand that. This is God's will, God's blessing to all of us. Gift. Don't have to do anything. You just receive it. It's a given gift to us. Look at that statement now. Something terribly wrong with that statement. Something terribly wrong with that statement. What do you think it is? Something is wrong with that statement. It's a gracious gift of God. Something is wrong with that statement. Anyone? Yeah, truly a covenanter. It's a gracious gift of God. It's a gracious gift from God. Holy Spirit is not a thing. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity indwelling us. God living in us. Because a lot of us think that the Holy Spirit is some magical energy. Zoom, come, then suddenly you come like not energized. It doesn't work that way. It is God's holy presence indwelling us, made possible because of the forgiveness of sins by the cross of Jesus Christ for all of us. Now, if that's the case, then I want to move us just a bit further and see how God empowers us. He's given, not just as a one-time point, but He's given for continual dependence upon God. And we see it throughout the entire book of Acts. I just give you two examples. So in Acts 10:19, and while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you." We'll come back to this text later on. Acts 13, verse 2. It says, "While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I've called them.'" And throughout the book of Acts, you see God responding that way. That's what it means to live our lives empowered by the Spirit. We hear the voice of God moving and directing us. This is so important. We need to ask ourselves, this is not just in the book of Acts. It's not just 2,000 years ago. It's for every single son and daughter of the King who has come to know Him. God indwells us. He speaks with us. We can hear Him speaking to us. And so I want to move this just a bit for us. I know many covenantals who do hear the voice of God, and they are moved to in a certain direction because they believe God directing them in certain ways. But yet, I know of many covenantals also who likewise say, "I've never in my life heard the voice of God." This morning, I want to encourage you. This is the gift of God. You do hear His voice, His Spirit living in you. And it is real. It brings your Christianity to an incredible level because suddenly you realize, oh my gosh, this is real. It's not my imagination. God is present here and now. Men and women, this is God's gift to us. We can hear His voice. I want to encourage you to do that. I want to share with you a story of a particular covenantal who is serving in Steady Readers, and he may not have used those words, but you see him moved by the Spirit in a certain direction and to serve. So sit back and watch this video.
I started New Life volunteering in 2012. Before coming to Singapore, I thought Singapore education system is very ahead of the world. And I thought no children is left behind, no children is behind the class. I think the kids come with the challenges. They are behind their academic reading, writing level. All of them have that challenge with no support from the families at home because they are not English speaking.
Steady Readers has revamped over the years, and we started in year 2006 with only 12 children from Greenwich Primary School. Over the last few years, We have expanded from three locations all the way to about seven locations now. We have started working with the Comlink, the social service office. Last year and this year, we have started not only with one SSO center, we have expanded to two other centers. So right now, this is one of our targeted group of children that we are working with.
No, I think it has grown a lot. Very basic, the Steady Reader book to read, some worksheets. From that, how New Life has organized it, the structured proper way, the lesson plan.
Okay, we give them a strong foundation in English, in sounds and letters, so the children learn how to sound those letters and blend the letters together to form words. And so through this foundation program, as they progresses on, they're able to recognize word, able to read word, and start reading confidently on their own. The greatest impact that SR has on the children is that the children started to read more confidently and also be able to engage in schoolwork as well. It will take about 3 to 4 months for the children to have some improvement, to have some noticeable improvement in their reading. So by the time About 8 months, they are actually quite near to the academic level already.
So from mandatory, I have to go because my parents signed up, till they enjoy it, they want to come back. One boy came back again. He graduated. He's in P4. He graduated, but he wanted to come and help. So that way, I think that's extreme. Not every child has that case, but New Life imparts something into the child's heart, the love, care, and the knowledge and that brings them again back.
Our greatest support is definitely to have more volunteers. Yeah, especially volunteers that are committed, volunteers that are really passionate about working with children. As well as we also need financial funding for our programs, for our learning materials, for staff, for trainings as well.
We were changing people's lives. I don't do that at work. I work in office, corporate office, so we don't change the world, right? But this one is touching somebody's heart and touching somebody's life and seeing the result. And that was a major reason why every year, every term, I want to come back.
Let's thank the Lord. Isn't that incredible? You know, friends, 100% of the current batch of Steady Reader students, they come from the below 20% income families in Singapore, 100%. You want to make a difference. You want to make a difference. This is the way to really make a difference for them. And 80% of the children, having gone through one run, 4 to 5 months, 80% see improvement. And in a year's time, about 8 months, two runs of this, they almost reach the level of their peers reading. Just how many programs do you have to bring people like that? This is something that we can participate in. And for those of you who say, you know, I've never really heard the Holy Spirit speaking, maybe now you hear a voice moving you in that direction. And that is the Spirit saying, hey, participate in this. Now, you know, Satish, he's been with us for all this period. He's a very shy person and I don't want to disturb him, but he's here with us today. I just want to acknowledge him. Satish, could you kindly stand? Okay. After the service, if you do want to know more, he will be there. We have points in this sanctuary for you to go to and just get to know how we can be part of this incredible transformation, because the Spirit just nudges us and say, hey, do this, and change lives, and change lives. The transforming power of God's Spirit, of Holy Spirit, but there's also the transforming presence of a holy God. How do we see that? So now we move from chapter 2 to chapter 4 in Acts. And when they heard them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or what name did you say this? Do you do this? So in this context here, Peter and John, they were in the temple. They had just healed a man who was crippled, and the authorities arrested them. And so here they are in this context now. They're before the authorities. And so we listen to the conversation. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, and if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. And then you notice what the authorities and the elders, what did they notice? And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I present to you that they were filled with the Spirit, but as far as the other people are concerned, they noticed there's something different about these guys. Why? They had been with Jesus. And friends, this is very important for all of us as disciples of Jesus Christ. You see, because why is this important? This idea of being with God, living life with God, living life with Jesus. Because by and large, a lot of the philosophies and worldviews in this world are transactional. What do I mean by that? So I'm thirsty, I go to 7-Eleven, I get a drink off the counter, and I go to the counter, I pay the person behind the cashier, and then I just walk out with my drink is in and drink my drink. I have no relationship with the person, the cashier down there. I don't know him, he doesn't know me, and basically it's a transactional process. Or after service today, you're thirsty, you go down to the vending machine, you put in coins, you press a button, ding, something comes up, and you know, you have no relationship with the machine, right? A lot of our understanding of life and stuff like that is by and large transactional. I grew up in my family with a certain frame of what my faith was, and it's primarily transactional. I don't kachow the gods don't kachow me, and or disturb me, and I do certain things, they bless me, and that's it. I don't really care about how they live their life. They don't care about how I live my life. Transactional. That was how I was growing up. But you see, they noticed there was change in these people. Why? Because they had been with a person. It's not transactional. What's at the heart of our faith is highly relational. It's a relationship with a living God. We've got to understand that. Because if you don't have that, and for you, your faith, your Christianity is just about doing or serving, even serving in New Life, I don't mind me saying, and you have no relationship with God, then you have missed the very heart of God. Because this is what God wants us. It is a relationship. And therefore, the question many of you ask is, Pastor, if it's a relationship, how do I build that or grow that relationship? So let me share with you something. It's so basic, we need to know this, okay? How do you grow a relationship? This is very, very important. And my counter question is, hey, how do you grow a relationship with anyone? So what is the most basic thing in wanting to grow a relationship? Anyone? You want to develop a relationship with someone, so spend time. Very good, very good. But even before spending time, let me share with you what is most important. Let's say you're interested, okay, young persons here, okay, you're interested in this girl, you want to get to know the girl, right? So what's the important thing for a relationship to build? The girl must also want to spend time with you. Am I wrong and am I wrong? Correct, right? Because relationship is two ways, isn't it? You cannot say, I want to have a relationship. I don't want. Then no relationship, right? So the very fundamental is that both sides must want. Correct? That's baseline. God's presence in our life, God giving us His Holy Spirit, He wants. God is saying, I want. How do you know I want? I'm present in your life. I speak with you. That's what we saw the Holy Spirit did, isn't it? This way of God's presence, we must respond. It's not we chasing God, you know. It's actually God chasing us. We respond. So how do we build that? You say, well, okay, like, easy to say like that, like, Pastor. But, you know, God invisible, eh? Oh, it's invisible. How does it work? And just because God is a relational being, he's a being. He's a relational being. At the heart of our faith, He wants that relationship with us. How do we do it? So, time, and more than time, is something all of you are doing now, which is not just giving your time, you are. It's a P word. Present. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, when the teacher marked attendance, they call your name. Then what do you say? Present. Do they still do it now? No, no longer. But in the past, they call you Chua Chung Kai, present. It's like that. So your presence is like that. So it's not the only way. But for me, this is how it works out for me. My time, your devotional time, your quiet time, whatever you call it, it's time with the Lord. It's not just reading the Bible for information. For me, it's turning up and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. I'm present with you. There are distractions. I help me to remove all these distractions. I read it down, but I'm present with you. And then I read the scriptures. And in that reading of the scriptures, I have a set way of reading, set path of reading the scriptures. I encourage you to do that. And I ask questions. I say, Lord, why did you behave in this way? Couldn't you have done this? Well, I don't understand. And it's a dialogue. It's a conversation. Because this text was written for me to know Him, to reveal God to me, to reveal Jesus to me. Not all the time I can tell you that there will be answers, but I'm in that dialogue, in that conversation with Him, and I can tell you so many times, the Spirit asks questions back. Why do you think I did that? And just moves me deeper, and it's a conversation. So daily, moment by moment, God invites us to build that relationship by being present with Him. The fact that He's given us the power of the Spirit, God, I want that relationship with you. And our response to Him is that we make time and space to be present with the Lord, to hear Him. Use whatever you want, lectio, whatever, just read it to you. And that's your way of communing with the Lord. You know, this is vital because, oh, I want transformation. Oh, transformation, Pastor say, spend time with Jesus. Okay, spend time with Jesus. Eh? How come not change, Transformation, I want. Spend time with Jesus. Eh, how come not change? That's totally wrong. Let me share with you what it is. Lord, I want to spend time with you. then I am changed. Do you see that? It's not I want transformation, I use God as a means to get that transformation. It's quite the opposite, no? It's relational, isn't it? Lord, I want to be present with you. Because of that presence, we are transformed. Does that make sense? It's a byproduct of that relationship. That's why last message I shared with you, quoting from our spiritual disciplines text, is this. And we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Transformed into the same image from one degree to another. That's what it means for change. When we are in the presence of the Lord, allowing Him to minister and for us to be refreshed, directed by His Spirit, then we are changed. This is what it means for us as followers of Jesus. There is the transforming power of the Spirit. There is the transforming presence of a holy God. And He invites us to that. But there's one more piece. There's a transforming purpose of a holy people. So from chapter 2, chapter 4, now we go to chapter 10. In chapter 10, Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter lifted him up saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And he talked with him and he went in and found many people gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone or another nation. But God has shown me I should not call any persons common or unclean." And then he went on to say, when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, why you sent for me? So by now, you really recognize that we talk about transformation not just in a vague idea, but in actual life of a person, in the life of Peter himself. Peter was transformed. So you must understand that in this situation, Peter was minding his own business. He was in a friend's house, and then upstairs in the roof, he was praying, and the Holy Spirit directed him and led him to go into a Gentile's house, a non-Jew's house. Now, you must understand how mind-blowing this is. The Jews, they grew up in a world where there are social norms and social practices and that keep them as an identity of the people of God. They practice circumcision, Sabbath, certain food they can eat, cannot eat kosher, and then all outside of this, is unclean, the Gentile world. And here was God, the Spirit, directing him to break out of his comfort zone, you know. It's like, how to do that? And the Lord says, no, don't call unclean what I've already made clean. Go. So out of his discomfort, growing up, this is how he's brought up, he breaks out of that mold. In doing so, he brought the keys of the kingdom to the Gentile world. Transformation, because he was willing to align his will and his purposes to the Lord's. I share this with us because I'm going to say something a little uncomfortable, but necessary for us to be aware. I think some of us are already aware. By and large, the English-speaking church in Singapore is of a certain SES, social economic status. There's no sin in that. It's not wrong. It just is. We just got to know. This is. We have a certain preference, a certain comfort zone, certain sensibilities. This is like, it's not a sin issue. It just is. We just got to know. And by and large, we find that if we are not careful, this becomes for us our little bubble, our little comfort zone, our kosher way of living. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that if we are not careful, this becomes those barriers. And God consistently wants to break us out of it. The best we have seen so far that God broke in and moved us to break out was in the year 2020 when COVID hit. You know, suddenly we realized there was a group of people in Singapore, the migrant workers, they were stuck and no food was delivered to them. And during COVID, everything was, nobody knows what's happening and it's just a challenging period. The Lord stirred some covenantals, different parts of the churches in Singapore. They came together and says, we got to do something for these people. And covenantals responded. It was incredible. You know, most of us would not naturally move in that direction with migrant work because it's just different, not sin. It's just different. We are uncomfortable. They are probably uncomfortable with us as well. But God stirred that compassion, moved us beyond what we think we can do or whatever and said, no, we need to act on behalf of God and bring that blessing. Period of Ramadan, the early in the morning, our senior pastors, different ones, we went down, brought food together with so many of you. And out of that birthed the Blessed Migrant Workers Ministry. Today, the work is growing among the Bangladesh, among the Indian workers, the Tamil workers, the China national workers, all because God broke in, moved us, aligned our hearts to His. move us beyond our comfort zone. This morning, you know, you want to, you ask who has been most blessed. You speak to all these involved in the best migrant workers. They will tell you, we are transformed, we are changed. We see God at work and our hearts are changed. A lot of times we think we change first, then we do. Actually, in the process of aligning ourselves to God's will, our hearts are changed. We are transformed. You're looking for transformation, align yourself to the purposes of God. When you do so, your life will change. This is exactly what happened to Peter. This is exactly what's happening around. So let me share with you some more good news. So this is New Life's services. Last year, to children, Silver Care refers to the elderly work. Best to Bless is folks with financial issues, troubles, and these are numbers. Last year alone, we served 1,658 beneficiaries. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, God. And more than that, we had over 853 covenanters across all three centers serving. These are the, let's also thank the Lord. Let's also thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. So 853, is it good or bad? Good lah. Don't be so hard on ourselves. We thank God for them. But if you look at the numbers of folks that all three centers combined, our average worship attendance, it's about 5,000 people. 853 out of 5,000, actually about 17%. 70%. Again, don't knock ourselves. We thank God for this 70%. But this morning, I believe God wants us to move beyond that, to bring that blessing beyond us. Young people here, older ones here, God wants us to move beyond that. I'm not talking to those who are already serving. This 853, you know who you are. Don't sweat it. You're involved. But I know there are many more who may not be involved. And God invites you to participate with Him, to bring that transformation to others. As you are transformed, you bring that transformation to others. So now I want to show you the final video today, and then we'll land with this. This is a CG, a cell group in Bukit Panjang. And they went out of their comfort zone to host block parties in Fajar, in Bukit Panjang. And you hear the discomfort of certain ones, and you see what happened. You see what happened.
I think as a CG, we felt that serving others is a way of showing Christ's love. So just as Jesus said that we are to be the salt and light to the world, we felt that these are very practical ways of being the hands and feet of Jesus to show the love to the community. So when this event came about, we all felt the need to step up and bless the community. So what we have actually attended as a CG was the Mid-Autumn Festival, Christmas Outreach, and the Chinese New Year event. So during these events itself, we've actually prepared programs of songs and then some games and of course food as well, right? Just to allow the community to have an opportunity to first network, mingle together. And of course, through this event itself, where we serve together as one CG, to be able to reach out and minister and be a friend to the community that we serve in.
In the beginning, I think the adults who really want to show an example to the younger ones that, you know, we are not just talking about serving, talking about loving each other, loving the community, but really doing what Christ wants us to do. But I think at the same time, where the adults are really encouraged and inspired by the younger ones. We see them very happy to serve during the actual event. They were all smiles, interacting with the seniors very happily, even with their limited vocab in Chinese or dialects. I think it's a beautiful reminder of 1 Peter 4:10, where we are reminded to serve each other with the unique gifts that God has given us with graciously.
I guess it was quite fun, and it was a bit tough because most of the elderly speak Chinese, and Chinese is not the best language I have. And I just used my phone to search up some of the ideas in English, just tried to give them a listening ear. I guess it's really just about being there for the elderly because we never really know what they're going through. Volunteering kind of reminds me of my akong and ama because it would really hurt to see these elderly be lonely and not have anyone to talk to.
One moment that struck me was that when I was actually serving food to the table that I was assigned to, one uncle approached me and told me he was really glad to have me here as he has never seen such a young youth participate in a outreach program. I really felt that God was in that person to encourage me to do more of these programs. Because since I was an usher and I'm not really very good with my Chinese also, and then since I also have to help the Chinese people and help to usher them towards the seats. I felt God really like push me up out of my comfort zone to really help and step up to these people so that like they'll know that they belong here and God loves them.
So there are a few moments that stood out to me, but one especially was when I was speaking to one of the ladies beside me, and she was asking me why I wanted to come and do this event. And I told her, it's actually something that we as a CG have decided to do together. And as she was a non-believer, it definitely gave us a chance to talk about why we feel it's important to love others outside of the church community and extend this love of Christ to those around us. So it's definitely very important to me to volunteer with seniors, especially since I can imagine some of these seniors as my grandparents. In conversations that I have with them, I can see issues in their lives that they might be a bit worried about, like how their own grandchildren are doing or how their families are doing, as well as what they do in their day-to-day lives. And so I believe by investing personally in their lives, we're able to definitely make a difference to them. And in doing so, we are very blessed ourselves.
Let's thank the laughs. That's what God has called us. Not just to be transformed, but as we are transformed, God moves us out to transform others as well. Those of you, you're here today, you have received this brochure. On the one side is to give time, the other side is to give treasure. And you can consider children, youth, or seniors, and then the donations. And you've heard Steve talk about sponsoring a table. This is very important, our 25th anniversary. Would you consider that? Invite your friends so that they too can come and serve and participate with this. You know why we talk about transformation? Because at the end of the day, transform people. That's what God calls us to do. That's why we think about this whole notion of transformation. And today, as we come to a close, may God move you as He has transformed you so that the world will know that there is a God who changes us from the inside out. Let us pray. God, we are so grateful. You are God who don't give up on us. You continue to change us. You chase after us. Lord, stir that again. That this life you've given to us, not just ours, but you want to direct us that others may know this God who will chase after them. So Lord, would you stir our hearts today? You are incredibly amazing God, and we worship you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand as we close with this song? You are amazing.
Truly we worship an amazing God who transforms lives, transforms our lives. It's amazing, God. You sing with it.
You're the one who walked on waters, and you calm the raging seas. You command the highest mountain to fall upon their knees. You're the one who welcomes sinners, and you open blinded eyes. You restore the brokenhearted, and you the dead to life, forgetting all our sins. You remember all your promises. You are amazing.
Father, once again, we receive your incredible faithfulness of our lives. And today we pray that will stir us, continue to transform us, make us beautiful like your Son, Jesus. Lord, move your church. Stir us, Lord, that the world will know and believe and receive your love. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Fill your heart with his Holy Spirit. And cause you to respond afresh by being present with him, moment by moment, day by day, that you may hear his voice and be so directed that others may fall in love with Jesus as well. Thank you, Lord. Send us forth with your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.